Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Every star's a wishing star that shines for you. April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true.
All righty, folks, I hate to cut in the middle of that song. That song comes back for a few years. It was one of the prettiest songs ever sang, especially back at the time it came out. I really enjoy it. And our guest tonight is, I'm going to call him a friend and a brother because I know he loves Christ, and I think I know enough to call him a friend already. We're going to talk to Pat Boone. And, Pat, I want to tell you that my first date with my wife was in April, and we got married seven months later. Yeah, we got married 7 months later, and that's been almost 54 years ago, so I think it might last.
So I'm partly to blame for it, am I?
You could be, absolutely.
No, that was probably before or after friendly persuasion, though I'm sure you were employing some of that yourself.
Well, that was part of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had to be.
Well, you've been through that, too. But welcome, Pat, to the program. And tonight, folks, we're gonna make this a light-hearted broadcast. Not getting anything really heavy tonight. We're going to reminisce. And Pat Boone is one that can seriously share some thoughts. And I want to share his life a little bit tonight with us. And I just want us to get to know Pat Boone even better than we do already. And, Pat, I can remember seeing you on TV. You always wore the white shoes. I remember that. And I remember you telling the host one night that you were a distant kin to Daniel Boone.
Oh, I was his great-great-great-great-grandson. And I still am, of course. I've traced the genealogy now, and I am descended from James, one of his 10 kids.
Wow. So, yeah, we have a celebrity in Lottie Provoice tonight, and it's not only a movie star and a singer, but he's related to Daniel Boone. But anyway, Pat,
Definitely. Welcome.
Please, tonight, make yourself at home. You're talking to a large family around the world right now, but they're family. So you make yourself at home, okay?
Well, I certainly will do it, yeah. And that's where I am at home, and that's where I am comfortable, is with family. My family has split up some, that is, geographically, and, of course, with my wife in heaven now. But she's preparing a place. Jesus said he would prepare a place for us where he was, we could be.
Amen.
So Shirley's with him now, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So I believe my wife, Shirley, who decorated and who was the major influence in my life, humanly, and I'm sure she's there making ready for whatever mansion or whatever kind of apartment. We'll even take a little apartment. It doesn't have to be a mansion.
Amen. Well, you know, that may be a good place to start, because I just want to reminisce with you tonight. We're going to talk about your appearances and the songs you sang and your movies. But I want to start tonight because I know being married to my wife almost 54 years, and the older you, the longer you're together, the closer you get. And, of course, she already knows that.
Yes, I do, yeah.
So I don't know. How long has Shirley been going?
Right now it's 68 years, although the last three she's been in heaven. But she is still my wife. We
Absolutely.
Are still married. And
Absolutely.
I've had two or three solicitor's friends who said, you know, there's this 76-year-old woman. You ought to meet. This woman is intelligent. She's that. I said, wait a minute. I know what you're trying to do. But there's only going to be one Mrs. Pat Boone. And she's waiting for me now. And so we're still married. It's not, I don't talk about her in the past tense at all.
Good,
or
good.
Even our marriage, we're still married.
Good for you. That is quite an honor both ways. It really is. I mean, that just speaks of what a fine helpmate she was and how much you loved her. And you had,
oh, yeah.
you had how many daughters?
Four daughters, and they then gave us 16 grandkids with the help of some irresponsible husbands. And no, they weren't irresponsible. They were very, they were prolific, though.
They were
and then
productive.
We got 16, yeah. 16 grandkids and 17 great-grandkids.
Oh, my. Good for you. Good
Talk
for
about
you.
Family.
And praise God, I have 6 grandkids and 3 great-grandsons, but you're way ahead of me.
Well, but I had a lot of help, you see.
You did. You did. And now, you just turned 91 a few weeks ago, right?
Well, June 1st, yep.
91.
And so now I've embarked into my 92nd year, and I'm still recording. I'm still appearing on television. I'm still once in a while singing in public and writing books, and I'm just staying really quite busy.
You know, and I have to say, that's amazing. How do you do it? How do you keep the energy up? I mean, 90,
well,
going on 92, you know, that's not 22. How do you do it?
Well, I tell you, I really took my physical health seriously from my earliest days. I mean, I was an athlete in high school and college in several sports. And then after I was married, I continued to play tennis and work out in the gym and watch what I ate. And I did not become a smoker or a drinker, and that's unusual here in Hollywood, right
yes,
in the heart
is.
Of Hollywood. But
yes,
I did it for health reasons, and also as an example to my own daughters, and eventually my grandkids, and obviously for my wife. She didn't like the way I smelled if I smoked a cigar. I had to keep my distance from her, which I didn't want to do, and that turned out eventually, though, she had some kind of a test, and she turned out to be absolutely averse to tobacco smell. And so that ended my smoking, pretty much. I will still puff on a pipe now and then if I'm alone and watching some good TV show and I'm trying not to eat too many snacks. I'll puff on a pipe for just me and my dog, Shadow.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you did manage to raise 4 daughters and keep a home together in Hollywood.
And I
have to admire you for that. How did you keep, well, not only yourself, I mean, that took a lot of discipline in Christ. It took a lot of discipline and faith. But how did you keep
in
4
business,
daughters?
In this business, yeah.
That's quite a feat. How did you do all that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I knew that it was going to be difficult, and I knew that it was my responsibility. I mean, I was not dumb to either one of those things. So when we moved from New Jersey, where briefly, when I was still in school at Columbia University, graduated with honors, magna cum laude, in 1953, and we had 4 kids already. We were only 23 years old ourselves. But we had 4 young little daughters, and we moved to Beverly Hills, where my wife wisely realized that if I was going to have to travel and be really busy, she wanted the 4 girls to have a settled home life. So we bought a place here right in the middle of Beverly Hills and got it at a great price, and it turned out to be a great investment after all these years. But I said, honey, we're going to live by Tennessee standards. What does that mean? It means we're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting Wednesday night, and if there's a protracted meeting, we'll be there every night, and we'll have a Bible reading before the girls go to school. We'll say our prayers at night when they're putting them down to go to bed, and we're going to be a Christian family no matter we're living right in the middle of Hollywood, Tinseltown, La La Land, and we just lived our lives the way we knew we should. And to that, to my amazement, Butch, the record business came my way. It fell on me, really. I didn't seek it. I won a couple of talent contests nationally, but nothing seemed to come from that until a man named Randy Wood at Dot Records outside Nashville. See, I was a Nashville guy. I was a homeboy in Nashville when I won those contests. And he called me a year after those shows had happened, and I figured people were already forgetting about them. He said, "You ought to be making a record. I heard you on those shows. Why aren't you recording?" And I said, "Well, I haven't been asked. I haven't had the opportunity." He says, "Well, do you want to make a record?" I said, "Well, I'd love to." So he sent me a ticket to Denton, Texas, sent me to Chicago, Illinois, where I flew, and I recorded a song, a rhythm and blues song, and I didn't know anything about rhythm and blues. It was just a fun song. One heart's not enough, baby. Two hearts will make you feel crazy. One kiss will make you feel so nice. Two kisses take you to paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. And that song, believe it or not, silly as it is, sold a million records, my very first record. And then wow. The next was Ain't That a Shame, Fats Domino's big hit. And from then on, for 4.5 years, I was never off the single chart, at the Billboard chart, for 4.5 years. And no other artist, I don't think, has ever attained that. That is, in successive weeks, without ever being off the chart, I was on. Even Elvis didn't do that, because he went to the Army after about 3 years. And when he came back, he was on and off, and so was I after that. On the charts. But see, I loved singing. I dreamed of it, but I didn't try to pursue it. Not after I had four little girls. I knew I couldn't count on a singing career, so I was going to be a teacher preacher, I thought. But I kept getting offers to record, to make movies, to do my own television show. And of course, I would accept the offer and do them and find out that not only did I like doing it, but the audiences seem to like it too.
Well, I think one of the main reasons that people are attracted to you, and I'll be 77 in September, but I remember growing up watching you. You always were kind of down home, and when you were on TV, you were just Pat, down home Pat. That's
saw that. And I let everybody know I was a country boy. Occasionally talk about milking the family cow, Rosemary. Switching off with my brother. He'd milk once a day, and I'd milk the other time. Sometimes we'd forget whose turn it was, and the cow might go unmilked. Rosemary would be very unhappy with us.
I get that right.
But I would talk about that and my country upbringing. Of course, I married Red Foley's daughter, Shirley Foley.
Did. Yeah, and I remember Red Foley and Peace in the Valley. He had a great voice, too.
Oh, and Closer Walk with Thee, and Saturday Night, and Old Shep. And I've recorded a whole album now, eventually, of my favorite Red Foley songs. But all along the way, in answer to your question, people knew that I was a guy that grew up in Nashville, sort of out in the country, out on Granny White Pike, and that I had grown up really as a farm boy. But now suddenly, I was making records, making movies, with Anne Margaret and with Barbara Eden and Shirley Jones. I turned down making a movie with Marilyn Monroe because the script, the movie they wanted me to make with her, was a very, I felt, immoral film. And I just turned it down, even though I was under contract. And, of course, they knew and I knew that the two of us together would have a hit movie, but I couldn't do the subject matter of that film, and I turned it down. But instead of that, they put me into a film which I didn't want to do either because it was science fiction, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I remember that.
And that became a huge hit, and it saved 20th Century Fox. The movie that they wanted me to make with Marilyn Monroe, and I didn't, they made with Joanne Woodward and a guy that had done West Side story, and that film flopped and cost them money. But the thing I did when I didn't do Marilyn Monroe saved 20th Century Fox Studio when they were about to go bankrupt. So God was in charge all along the way.
Well, I've got to ask you a question, because you were rubbing elbows with some very famous people, and I have to say, some very beautiful ladies. I mean, Anne Margaret and Barbara Eden, about as pretty as they come. I mean, you were out there. They are. Go ahead.
But then I had my own four pretty girls at home.
And my
wife. And yep. And that's why I was famous in the beginning, accidentally, for not kissing Shirley Jones in our first movie, because it wasn't in the script. And when the director said, okay, at the end of this musical song, lean in and kiss Shirley Jones, I said, wait a minute, on the mouth? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's not in the script, Henry, the director. He said, well, you got to kiss your leading lady. This is a great place. You ought to give her a kiss at the end of this song. I said, look, can we do it later in the film? I haven't talked to my own wife, Shirley, about me kissing our friend Shirley Jones. And let me talk to her and at least give her some warning that if it's going to make a difference in our marriage, then, you know, I need to know. Well, I went home. I talked to my wife. She said, I'm ahead of you. You got a 7-year movie deal. I know her dad was Red Foley. He'd done some movies. And she said, I know there's going to be some kissing involved, but you just promised me one thing. I said, I will. She said, you won't enjoy it. I said, I promise I won't enjoy it. So after I kissed Anne Margaret and Barbara Eden and Debbie Reynolds and Nancy Kwan, you know, I had some trouble convincing her that I had not enjoyed it.
But you were an actor. You're an actor.
That was hard work. You had to make sure you didn't keep your shadow over the girl that you're kissing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shirley was a very understanding lady. I got to say that. She was.
She was. Yes, she was.
I mean, but again, I highly admire you that you were rubbing elbows with people like that, and I didn't know them, obviously, at all. But I know a lot of them are pretty wild behind the scenes and involved in a lot of different things, but you didn't get involved in the nightlife, I guess you call it. You were a
homebody. Pretty soon, I was off the list of people that, you know, that everybody doing big parties and premieres wanted to have me come to, because they could tell I would order a ginger ale, and I wasn't engaging in the dirty jokes. I mean, I have a sense of humor, but they don't. I can be funny and enjoy humor without being filthy dirty either.
Amen.
And so anyway, I could mix in and have fun. But I became known, Butch, as a square, and I even wrote a song once I'd love to send you, which became a modest hit. Are there any more squares out there? And folks that believe in the golden rule, help me prove I'm not a doggone fool. Are there any more squares out there?
I love to have copy of that. I would. That'd be great.
And so I began to just capitalize on the fact that other entertainers kidded me. Dean Martin, several times in his shows, would say, you know, at Pat Boone, he's so religious. I shook hands with that boy the other day. My whole right side sobered up.
I remember him saying that. I remember him saying that. I remember. Golly,
so
my memory is better than my father was. Gee.
I would repeat that in my shows and have fun with it. And I could let people know that I knew he was kidding me, and that I enjoyed the joke, but that wasn't going to affect my behavior. And I don't want to sound like a total square, because, you know, I wound up recording a lot of songs that maybe surprised some people, like a heavy metal album once, where I did the heavy metal classics with big band jazz arrangements. I did them because I had found that there were some really good songs, melodically and even lyrically, underneath all that the cacophony and shouting and yelling. I found a way to do those songs, like Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train and Smoke on the Water and Paradise City, Guns N' Roses, did their songs, but with big band jazz arrangements, and that record, again, became a very big hit.
Well, you know, what you're telling me, and you raised four daughters. I know the one daughter, Debbie. I remember, beautiful, beautiful young lady.
Yeah.
I don't remember the other three, to tell you the truth. I'm sure of seeing them. I don't remember the picture.
Well, no, they weren't as well-known, Cherry, Lindy, and then Debbie, and then Laurie, the youngest. But they became a singing group of their own. And when the girls were all teenagers at the same time, now get this, I'm a guy in entertainment business. I've got four beautiful daughters. They're 14, 15, 16, and 17 at the same time.
Wow.
Well, only way I could figure out to handle that was to make a family act out of it. So for 8 years, it was Pat Boone and family, including my daughters, growing up as teenagers and then eventually getting peeled off one at a time by some Christian guys till Daddy was back to being a solo. But I kept my four daughters with me for 8 years in the Pat Boone family. Well, that was not real commercial for my records because, you know, if you're a teen idol to begin with and then you're a singer of love songs after that and movies and so on, for you to constantly have your wife and daughters with you and even singing with you can be very enjoyable, but it's not going to sell as many records. However, my four daughters did become a gospel group, and they got Grammy and Dove Awards and nominations. And then after they got married to Christian guys, I went back to being just plain old Pat Boone by myself.
Well, I can tell you what, I have to say this. For you to keep those four young girls out of the hellhole that we call Hollywood and them not get tarnished by it is absolutely a miracle in itself. Christ really looked after your family.
It was four miracles.
It was.
Because,
I'm serious.
Yeah, I supervised. I mean, when guys would come over that maybe a couple of years older and even famous in their own right to ask Debbie for a date, and I would say, honey, do you want to have a date with him? Well, I would enjoy it, Daddy. Okay, we'll have him come over at 7 o'clock. So he would kind of say, okay, where are you going? I'd meet him. We'd first shake hands. Where are you going? Well, I thought we'd have a little something to eat and then go to a movie. Oh, where are you going to go eat? I may join you. And and then what movie are you going to see? I might want to join you there, too.
Good for you.
They got the definite. Oh, and I said, you're going to be home by 11, right? Well, if that's what you want. Yep, that's what I want. And so, I mean, you know, your girl's 17, 18, even 19. I mean, they were not always comfortable with my asking questions and about intimating that I might come join them. But I was on Merv Griffin's show eventually while we were a family act and trying to get under, you know, trying to get some news or answers that he didn't think I would want to answer. He had us sit down, Shirley and me, and talk to the four girls. He said, you have a pretty strict dad. And the girl said, oh, yeah, what's he strictest about? One of them said, respect. There was no sass in our house. And the audience applauded wildly. And then Merv couldn't resist it. Well, come on, girls, tell me, don't you feel like you're missing out on something? And my oldest daughter, 17, Cherry, said, yes, trouble.
We're missing out
on a lot of trouble that our friends are getting into, and we're not getting into those troubles. And then they said, look, we know that Daddy's not always going to be telling us what we can do or not do, but he tells us why. We understand his concern because we see what's happening to other kids our age who don't have parents looking after them.
Yes, yes.
And so even though we believe we're more trustworthy than he may think or fear, that we know we're going to do the right things and whatever we want to do other than what Daddy wants us to do, we'll have a whole lifetime to do. They all married Christian guys, and we got the 16 Christian grandkids and the 17 great-grandkids, and I can go to heaven knowing that I did my job.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I didn't have any girls. I had three sons. I did, and one of my grandsons. I thought about having a girl, but Marshall wouldn't cooperate. But anyway.
I think God knew better in my case.
I think you're right.
I was traveling so much. And, of course, the girls then were in Mama's care. And if I had had a son, I saw many boys that were sons of famous people who either tried to compete with their dad or imitate their dad and tried to, you know, or rebel and don't go 100 degrees apart from their dad. So anyway, that's it. I could talk to you all afternoon about that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful testimony, though, Pat. It really is. That is so unusual to have Christian young ladies in the middle of Hollywood. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, that's like walking through a hog pen and not getting shoes muddy.
Well, that's true, and we were very aware of that. But it helps so much to have their sweet, wonderful, all-knowing mama, who herself was beautiful and had been in demand as a young girl when I married her. And so we were very knowledgeable. The girls knew we were, and they participated in my career. They found out how hard work it was, and we traveled. We all over the world. We went to the Philippines. We went to Korea. We went to Japan. We went to all over, and in England, and we sang together. They saw how hard it was. The work, the travel, getting up early, the working late, and yet we were a family doing it together. And if one of us got sick, then the whole group was sick, or at least having to be aware that she was not up to snuff. And so that closeness, and of course we were praying all the time. I mean, all the way. I mean, we always started every day with prayer together, and we ended the day with prayer together, and we were never going to forget, as I like that song, "Don't Forget Whose Child You Are." Well, they knew they were Pat Boone's and Shirley Boone's kids, but they also knew they were daughters of God.
Amen. Amen. I know that myself, my wife, and my sons always started prayer in the morning around our coffee table. That was our altar.
Yep.
Before we started the day.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
I was accused of being too strict by some of my family sometimes, but none of my boys did drugs. None of them were alcoholics, and they're all Christians. And one of my grandsons now is a preacher. So a few things turned out pretty good, I think. But
boy, I'm sure they all did. All glory to God.
Just like you say,
Patty. Glory to God.
Glory to God. I mean, we try to do our best, and we still mess up. But God does the rest. That's where grace comes in. All right, we're on the break here. We're on a break, Pat. Just don't lose that thought. Folks, I got the break.
Okay.
Open phone lines up, too, a little bit. Okay, so you can call and talk to Pat Boone if you want to. We'll keep on the light side and reminisce tonight. I'm loving this. Back at the break, folks. This is
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
There are some things,
there are some things
I may not know.
I may not know.
There are some places I can't go. But I am sure, of this one thing,
of this one thing,
that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within.
Deep within.
My God is real.
Keep it going, Todd. Keep it going.
Real in my soul. My God is real. For He has washed and made me whole.
Oh, yes.
His love for me.
His love for me.
Is like pure gold.
Is like pure gold.
My God is real. For I can feel Him deep in my soul.
Amen. That'll put a shout in your bones, boy. There's something wrong with you. I mean, that's my kind of music. That kind of stuff gets me off the seat, I tell you.
I agree. Because, you know, I recorded a whole album of Red Foley songs, but then I recorded about 20 other gospel albums, and I had the first million-selling gospel album when I was a teen idol in the late 50s. I recorded an album of the songs that I was a song leader for in our church background. We didn't even have instrumental music in the Church of Christ, so we were four-part harmony a cappella singers, and so I recorded all my church song favorites, and it was an album, a million seller for the teens, because I knew the teenagers would buy anything I was recording. If it was a page out of the phone book, they would have bought it. And so I recorded these about 12 or I forget, at least 12 major big country gospel songs, not country gospel, church songs, and it sold well over a million records. So here's a teen idol singing church songs, and the teenagers ate it up.
Hey, man, boy, we need that today big time. Folks, phone lines open, 717-300-1698, 717-300-1698. And I've got to tell you this, Pat, or Summer Dre will be mad at me. Do you know Summer Dre off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
All right. Summer's one of my sponsors. She runs Superior Mountain Herbs out of Montana. Her daddy, you led to Christ, David Marish.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes.
Of course. Yeah, I didn't remember. Dave Marish, Jewish fellow. who was yes. my PR man, and he was so exposed to everything that I was doing and why, that eventually he became a Christian, a wonderful believer himself, to the delight of his wife. Why, is she listening now?
Well, she may be. She's a sponsor of the program. I have her on once a month. She advertises on this broadcast. She lives in Montana, and she sponsored this broadcast, helped pay the bills here. She's a real sweet lady. Then I mentioned your name, and she got all excited. Said, I know Pat Boone. He led my dad to Christ about 6 months before he passed away.
Tell her that I'm still, I love her, and that I'm looking forward to seeing Dave after I get through hugging Shirley.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, she wouldn't make sure I told you that, so now I did, and I can't
great.
Forget now I've already said it, so that's great. I'll tell you what, we got so much stuff happening. Let's take a phone call from right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chance. Chance, come on in.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. Hello, Pat Boone. Pat Boone,
hello.
Can I share a couple of memories with you? I was born in 1960, okay? My late mama was born in 1941. She passed away in 2014. But she passed down to me two of your singles on 45s. One was, which I still have in the back room, one was Love Letters in the Sand.
Yeah.
And did you make a song, I believe, Bernadine, was it?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I have both of them. Now, when my mama bought them, she must have been 16 years old. But, Pat, I can also remember, I'll share a couple of, I was born in 1960, but I remember the Pat Boone Show. I remember when you were a guest on a talk show, I think it was Mike Douglas, when you got down on the floor and did push-ups.
Yeah, well, that was the one I did. Well, I may have on that show, too, because I was always proud of being athletically fit.
Yes.
But I've got a secret. I've got a secret show. I did three times more exercise than anybody on the show could do. And I did, I think they counted 60 push-ups. It was on the I've Got a Secret show.
Yeah, I remember you got down on the floor and you challenged somebody to play. And I also remember, Mr. Boone, one other movie you did. It was a musical. It was called State Fair.
Yes.
That's where the other actor was singing a song to the pig, I think.
Yeah, that was Tom Ewell. Tom Ewell, the actor. And then, of course, I was singing a song to Aunt Margaret.
I saw it later. I was born in 60. But, you know, you bring back memories of a much more wholesome time.
You know, Chance, Chance, I hate when kids like you call the program.
65, I don't feel like a kid anymore. But you know what, Mr. Boone, you bring back memories of a much more wholesome time.
Yes,
he does. A thing that this country desperately needs. And
amen.
I'll always treasure those 45s of yours that I got from my mama.
Well, thanks for the call, Chance.
Well, hang on, John. They're collector's albums now. Hang on. They may get to be more valuable after people forget what in the world a record is. These days, you don't have to even have a record player. You can just tune on the TV and you can hear or, you know, you can experience anything practically you want. And so times are changing, and I'm just so glad that I had I had how many million sellers? I had 13, no, 14, no. I've forgotten how many million sellers of records I had. Oh, I know I had 13 number ones.
You know what I find myself doing now at the age of 65? When I look back at times, certain years, I always think now, how old would my mama have been or my daddy have been at that particular time? I find myself doing that an awful lot.
Of course.
And like I said, when your record came out in 57, my mama was 16. I wasn't born until 60. So, well, God bless you now. Thanks for the show, Pastor Butch. It puts a smile on my face to go back in time.
Amen. Thanks for calling, Chance. Appreciate it. And before I go to the next caller, we found your song, Pat. We'll play a new song. Man, I had a caller text me and asked me, what was your mom and dad like? Can you give a quick answer on that?
they were just wonderful Christian people. Daddy was an architect and a contractor, and Mama a registered nurse, both practical professions. So when we sat around the table and read the Bible together, that was just as practical in our lives as me milking the cow or going to school or wanting to get a Whizzer motorbike or anything else. It was family, and it was, you know, Jesus was the guest in our home always. And so that's, Amen. You know, I grew up that way, went to a Christian high school as well. And so God had really shaped my character, shaped my personality, shaped my ambitions, whatever, while I was growing up. And I tried never to abandon those things because I knew I'd been launched in the right direction.
All right. Well, let's praise God for that. Let's take another phone call. Then we'll play your new song entitled One. Okay. Let's talk to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Hello, Mr. Boone. This is a joy, a complete joy. I was just listening today to I Need Someone and Loving You Madly on your Republic.
I love those songs. Oh, boy, yes. But, you know, I had so many beautiful songs to be able to sing, and Randy Wood of Dot Records would pay for the orchestra, the chorus, all the recording costs, and whatever I wanted to record. And sometimes we would do as many as 3 albums a year.
Wow. But you were lucky. You got to do what you had a good record company because they let you do what you liked to do.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Others, I really was.
A lot of the others couldn't. They weren't allowed. It didn't
that's
fit.
True.
Their managers wouldn't let them do
I
it.
Was just blessed. Yeah. I don't even call it lucky. I was just blessed. God was in charge all the way.
There you go.
All right.
If God is on your shoulder, you're in good shape. I sent Pastor Speedy Gonzalez for the song of the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jan, I'm sorry to jump around out of time here so quickly, but thanks for calling. By the way, if you have to leave early, Pat, I didn't know that you meant to leave early. If you do, just say so. I'm enjoying this so much, I didn't think about that.
I wasn't thinking of leaving early, but by the time we finish, it's going to be probably close to an hour. And we do have a dinner appointment. Not just dinner, but a dinner appointment we have. So I have to honor that. But I did want to hear, want you to know about this song, One, because okay. Can I just describe it to you?
Absolutely, you can. I got to take one more phone call. This is from Elsie in Maryland. She's 95 years old, and she wants to talk to you.
Okay.
We have to do that. Aunt Elsie, come on in. Welcome, sweetheart. Welcome.
Hello, Pat.
Hello, Elsie. I hoped you would call.
Oh, yes. I'm 95, and I live with my son and his wife. And there's 3 boys that recently got married, and they're the nesters now, except for me.
And, well, God bless them for blessing you.
Oh, well, they treat me really good and take me wherever I want to go and that kind of thing. And just I have a real nice room and everything here. And
there's
honored.
Millions of people would love to
talk to you. And I remember your songs and everything from back in the 50s.
And I can tell you do.
April Love and Friendly Persuasion and all those things.
Oh, yes, I love more than the meadows so green and still. Yeah, I still love that song. It was a movie theme. And I got to sing that.
For some reason, but I can remember the tunes in my head.
That's a good place to keep them. And let them slip down into your heart as well, as I'm sure you have.
What a sweet phone call.
I have.
Elsie, thank you for calling. Thank you, Elsie. You're okay. A sweetheart. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Bye. God bless you, Elsie.
All right,
bye.
Pat, I know you got to go. Tell us about your new song. I won't play it after you leave. But what your new song called One. Tell them about that.
Yes, that seems like an odd thing. But I have a friend that I've known many years, and she this was not like her, but she said, Pat, have you ever done a song called One? I said, no, why? Well, she said, I just have an idea that you ought to write a song called One. I thought, well, that's peculiar. It's just, you mean the number one? She said, yes. And I don't have any more of an idea than that. Well, it stuck with me, and I consider some of those things God things. Maybe I was meant to do it. So I wound up, I got the inspiration, I wrote the song, One, I am one, like no other on this planet, I am one. In my oneness there is honor, there is courage, there is purpose, like no other on this planet, I am one. It's the oneness, uniqueness of the individual, but one, we are one. When good people come together, we are one. The unity of people with like-mindedness, like Christianity, we are one. Then our nation is meant to be one nation under God, which it's not right now. It's too divided. Mm-hmm. But then one, our God is one. And as the Hebrews say, behold, O Israel, our God is one. Now, of course, in three persons, but they're all the same person. And so anyway, I wound up writing that song as a Neil Diamond-type anthem. And then a group out of Springfield, Missouri, called World Serve, heard my song, said, can we use this as a fundraiser for what we're doing, raising money to build freshwater wells for the children in Africa by the millions, like 300 million children drink poisoned water because they don't have anything. The government doesn't supply it, and they drink, often they'll go 30 miles, 3 miles, 10 miles with buckets to fill their buckets with muddy water out of a ditch where the cattle poop and drink and take that home and that's what their kids drink. And so they said, we can imagine your song being influenced on people to help us help these kids live. So we did, and we recorded with a bunch of artists. You'll hear them. Goodness, it's great people like, it's a whole potpourri of country performers. Vince Gill, Alabama, Lee Greenwood, Larry Gatlin, Pam Tillis, Deborah Allen, Billy Dean, and on, singing with me the verses of this song, One, and then we were joined by a group we didn't know, so I say it's a God thing. They were in Nashville. They were all immigrants. They were naturalized immigrants from those countries in Africa, mainly Tanzania, where Shirley and I had already helped drill a fresh water well through God TV, and it was functioning already. And we found about that. They sang. They get together and sing Christian music because they are Christians in their language, but then when they heard my song One, they asked if they could be part of this effort to raise money for their families, for their kids. And they joined us, and you hear them singing. Okay, that's good.
That's beautiful. And I know you got to go. I could talk to you for hours, but I know you got to go.
Well, I could talk for hours, too.
Or you meet my wife. I mean, you'll be up. You really have a maid then. But... But we have got to talk again sometime, and I'd just like to pick your brain some more and just share some more. Maybe if I treat Dana real nice, she'll fix it up again with another program sometime.
Okay, we'll look forward to the time. We'll try to do it. I hardly ever say no. Sometimes it says, well, let me try it. Let me see if I can find the time in the middle of a checkered schedule where all these songs, like Grits, and I want you to hear Grits as well.
I'll listen
and
to
then
it.
I did another hit song called My Stupid Tattoo, making fun of tattoos on country performers.
And all right.
I redid. Anyway, I'm still at it, still singing, still performing, and still creating.
Well, don't forget, you get out towards West Virginia, you got brown beans, cornbread, fried potatoes, onions, and greens.
Well, don't let anybody else slurp them up, because I'll eat my share.
You tell me you come and I'll lock the door to get here. But
okay.
God bless you, Pat Boone.
Yeah, God bless you, too. And I know he will.
Yes, he has. I will talk to you again, Lord willing, sometime in the future.
Okay. God bless you, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, what do you add to that? I mean, what do you add to that? We're going to play a song now, a new song called One. Please play that, Todd.
I am one, like no other human being. I am one. In my life there is a meaning, there is worth, there is a purpose, like no other on this planet. I am one. One, we are one. When good people come together, we are one. In our oneness, there is purpose, there is honor, there is courage. When good people come together, we are one. For united we stand, divided we fall. And if we stand together with our backs against the wall, with our hearts filled with love, with God's help from above, we still can be the greatest land of all. One, make us one. God of our own declaration, make us one. Make us still a mighty nation, still proclaiming your salvation. God of our own declaration, make us one.
Make us one.
One, you are one. Just one holy God in heaven, you are one. With each one who came before us, we will join the mighty chorus. Father God in highest heaven, you are one. For united we stand, divided we fall. And if we stand together with our backs against the wall, with our hearts filled with love, with God's help from above, we still can be the greatest land of all. Just one holy God in heaven, you are one. With each one who came before us, we will join the mighty chorus. Father God in highest heaven, you are one.
Amen. I tell you what, folks, this type of broadcast was needed for me tonight, especially, I think. I mean, we're going to cover some other things over the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we have a lady named Kelly Collins, who was rescued by God from a terrible life of, I guess you say, child abuse, drugs. We're going to let her tell her miracle and what brought her out and how she got out of it. We have been so blessed. This radio broadcast has been going along for 32 and a half years. Because folks like you care. Tonight's program was an extra special blessing to me to get to talk to a gentleman like Pat Boone and get to know what kind of fella he really is. Down to earth, country boy, you can tell that. That loves the Lord and loves people. And for y'all being here and listening to us, I appreciate that. And I really appreciate Elsie calling in. What a sweetheart from Maryland. You know, I know what to say. I'm a very, very, very blessed man. Much more than I deserve. I'm very blessed. And it's an honor tonight, every night, to get to come on radio and speak to you all and share thoughts and sometimes some very serious topics and some sermons. But it's also an honor to come on and have a good time reminiscing together. Is it not? Of the old days. I know this, a lot of y'all have no idea who Pat Boone is. All newer, younger listeners have no idea who Pat Boone is or was. But go online if you get a chance. Look up some of his songs. Look at him. Listen to him. You heard tonight what kind of man he is, what kind of family he reared in a cesspool we call Hollywood, and how they turned out. That's the power we have through Christ our Lord if we stay faithful to him. It's a blessing that we all can enjoy if we obey our Father. I never have done that perfectly, folks, but he knows my heart. There are times I mess up. Sometimes I get mad on purpose and mess up. And I confess of my sins. But he's just to forgive our sins when we repent before him. Let's take time through all the hell we're seeing, all the insanity going on. Let's take time to praise our Father. With a program like tonight, I think we did that. Maybe we uplift somebody's spirit tonight. Maybe we uplift somebody who's having a hard day. And tomorrow night's broadcast with Kelly, maybe she'll be able to touch somebody out there that's going through the same thing she did. This is a ministry program, folks. This is a ministry. Yes, I know it's not like most ministries, because we don't shy off any topic, because everything on this earth concerns our Father in heaven. So these are things that we have to understand, work together in. But let's enjoy the journey, going through all the hellish situations this nation going through that we brought on ourselves. Let's just try to enjoy the journey together. And we have a chance sometime to get a gentleman like Pat Boone and have him share his thoughts. That was a real refreshing time for me. I pray it was for y'all too. And by the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night. But folks, stay faithful to Christ, as Pat did, and look what it helped his family with. No praise to us. We're servants. Praise to our Father. Maybe Pat earns respect. I think he has. I respect him. Respect's one thing, but we want no praise. We just want you to stay faithful to Christ and pray for us, and we do the same thing. Life is not getting easier, folks, on this earth. Let's band together in Christ and edify one another, okay? See you tomorrow night. Good night.
Pick up your sword and shield, and on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.